We welcome you to another edition of our Bible study during this very special time of year as we focus and meditate upon Christ our sacrifice, who was Christ our Passover, who was sacrificed for us. And so we gaze at the cross and we see our sin there as we move toward the celebration of the resurrection. But as we stand with awe and as we stand meditatively before the cross, last time we studied how during those 3 hours of darkness, all the sin and iniquity of humanity was placed upon our Lord and Savior. Not just the sin, but the guilt and the shame of the sin, and then the penalty and the punishment and the condemnation and the wrath of God that was poured out on our Lord for those 3 hours of darkness. And we went to 1 Thessalonians, and we went to Revelation, and we went to Isaiah 53 and several of the Messianic Psalms to get a feel for what's revealed to us of the physical and emotional and spiritual agony that our Lord suffered for our sins, and our Lord endured for our sins, and our Lord carried and allowed Himself to be laden with the sin and the shame and the guilt and the penalty for my sin. And my friend, I hope you made it very personal. The cross has to be personal. Well, today we look at the crown of thorns. Last time, the 3 hours of darkness. Today, we look at the crown of thorns. So we want to pick up quickly and move forward in Mark 15, verse 16. The scripture says this, "And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium. And they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head. And began to salute him, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they smote him on the head with a reed and spit upon him. Bowing their knees, they worshipped him, mocking and making fun of our Lord, as folks do today, my friend." Verse 20, "And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes back on him and led him away to crucify him on that cross." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Father, Lord Jesus, I am so sorry that my sin put you on that cross. And Father, I'm so sorry I'm not further along in my walk with you. Father, forgive me a daily sin. I pray for a cleansing and an anointing of your Spirit. Lord Jesus, impart to me by the power of your Spirit not only conviction, but the heavy hand of your discipline and chastening. And Father, also the spark of your Spirit to inflame within me a motivation to commit myself more fully to you. Mortify areas of my flesh. And Father, let me be brought into that closer, sweet, sweet communion and fellowship with you. And empower me, Lord Jesus, to stand for you. Father, as we look at your word today, I pray again for an anointing to teach the truth, but I pray your Holy Spirit, these folks listening all over America and all over the world today, will listen and allow your still small voice to speak to their hearts the truth of your word. You, Holy Spirit, are the perfect teacher. So please convict and reprove and guide and impart wisdom and counseling to us as to our hearts and minds as we study your truth. In your glorious name we pray, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all you went through on that cross. In your glorious name we pray, Heavenly Father. Amen. All right, my friend, look at what the Scripture says. In Mark chapter 15, in verse 17, it says, "They clothed him with purple, and then they plaited a crown of thorns and placed it upon his head." The thorns were braided and pleated, that's what the word means, and placed upon Jesus' head. The cruelty, the mockery, the suffering, the pain, spat upon, all this that he's going through the hands, experiencing by the hands of fallen humanity, what he's there to die for, that's me. That's my sin. We look at these people and somehow think we're better. We're not. And so we need the Savior that is going to be placed on the cross, and he's going to look at the Roman soldier that spat upon him, the Roman soldier that scourged him and whipped him, the Roman soldier that placed those thorns in the forehead, and you know how painful that is with that thin layer of skin and piercing his skull. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Lord, let me have that spirit in me. But again, it is significant. It's more than the cruelty. The thorns are significant. They're prophetic. The thorns have a deeper meaning from God the Father himself. And so we want to see what it represents. What does the crown of thorns represent? Something else that is being laid on him. Something that he is carrying for us. Something that he is carrying for me during this time as he's on that cross in the 3 hours of darkness with the crown of thorns on his head. So go back with me to Genesis and let's look at the first use of thorns. And in Genesis chapter 3, the first use of the word thorns in the Hebrew, and in Genesis chapter 3, we see that man has sinned. He has used his free will, which God gave him, because man has to have free will to understand love, and to know God, you've got to understand love, because John tells us God is love. He's dying on that cross because he loves us. Greater love hath no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. And then John tells us again in his epistle that in this was manifested the love of God toward us, in that God sent his only begotten Son to be the propitiation, the substitution, the appeasement for our sins by his sacrifice on the cross. And so here we are in Genesis chapter 3, verse 14, and God is pronouncing a curse as a result of sin. And he says this in verse 14. He says to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed. You're going to be on your belly and eat dust all your life. And he says he's going to put enmity between your seed and the seed of the woman. And then prophetically, he says the seed of the woman, the miracle birth that Mary's going to have 4,000 years later, is going to bash your head, but you will bruise his heel on the cross. We can read all that into it now because we're looking back on it. Verse 16, he says unto the woman, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception, the pain in childbirth, the husband to rule over you. And in verse 17, unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of your wife and hast eaten of the tree, cursed is the ground. Thorns and thistles, verse 18, represent the curse, the sweat of your face, and you're going to return unto the dust. So the sin of Adam, and all the sons of Adam, all of humanity, are now going to be born under this curse. Now, curse in the Hebrew is arar, A-R-A-R. And it means this, it means to hem in, or to bind up with obstacles. There are now going to be obstacles and circumstances in life that are going to keep us from moving forward freely. And I want to give you that quickly. A synonym for arar in the Hebrew would be a word that would mean bondage. Something that hems you in or binds you up with obstacles. And an antonym in the Hebrew would be any word that alludes to freedom. So now we're going to be bound up and hemmed in by obstacles. We're going to be in bondage. Human nature is going to have to fight to live. Human nature is going to have to fight to survive. Whereas before, God provided everything. And the man was just to dress and keep the garden and to walk through the garden and pluck the fruit as it ripens and enjoy the tree of life and the clear water and all these wonderful things. But now we've got a curse. And in verse 17, he says this. He says, cursed is the ground because of what you've done. Creation is cursed because of what man did. And I'll take you to Romans in a moment and show you more on that. So now we have fallen nature. Not just fallen human nature, but we've got fallen nature. There are going to be storms and upheavals and calamities. Animals are now going to be predatory and poisonous. The lion can no longer lay down with the lamb in peace. Man is going to be experience ravenous beasts, and he's going to experience the storms and the hurricanes and the tornadoes and the temperatures of frigid cold and drought and heat, and all this upheaval has now disrupted the order of nature and the perfect balance. And then in verse 19 he says this. The second part of the curse is, in the sweat of your face shall you eat bread. So man is now going to know what it means to sweat and to labor. He's going to experience pain and weakness. He's going to know what it means to be tired and overwhelmed physically and mentally. So he's going to experience anxiety now. He's going to experience fear now. All part of what Jesus has taken upon him. So I want you to understand, these things can be removed by the power of Christ in our lives once the Holy Spirit enters in. Because that process of restoration began on the cross. And when Christ died for my sins, and when I receive Him, I need to be allowing the power of His Spirit to start reversing some of these things in my fallen human nature. That's why we believe in the miracles of healing. And that's why we believe that someone who has high levels of being a person that worries about everything all the time can find peace in Christ Jesus, and our perspectives can be changed. But when he's got this crown of thorns during these 3 hours of darkness, all of this is going on in his life. And then verse 19 says this. In the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return unto the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust you shall return. So now he says, Adam, you're going to die. You're going to go back to death. You're going to go back to the dust. So death, as a result of the curse and man's sin, now we have disease and wearing out and decay and death. Now we can brush off hundreds and thousands of skin cells a day as we go through any kind of an activity, because these bodies are decaying and they're breaking down. Now from the moment we are born, we begin the process toward death. And that's not how it was. Man was made out of dust. Go to Genesis chapter 2 and let me show you verse 7. In Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. And he breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. He became a living soul with the very breath of God into human nature, by which we can reason and understand the existence of God. And we can relate to God our Creator, and we can now relate to God our Savior. And so when the very breath of God was part of the aspect that came into us. That didn't happen to the animals. And what I want you to understand, when he gave us that, then in verse 9, the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden. And then we get a clue about the tree of life after man falls. So go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 22, and look at God's plan. After man falls, God's got to get him out of the garden. Why? Verse 22, the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. So man was made out of the dust. He was placed into the Garden of Eden. And he was to eat of the tree of life and live forever in a state of innocency, in a state of purity, and in a state where he fellowshiped with God, the second person of the Godhead, the Word, would come down in the cool of the evening and walk in the garden, and they would commune one with another. And so man loses that. And thorns represent the curse. Man is not now to live physically forever. And he is going to experience pain, suffering, disease, heartache, death, fear, anxiety. But on the cross, Jesus took this upon himself, this crown of thorns, and he begins the process of reversing the curse of death that is now placed on humanity as we are the sons of Adam. So go with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 9 we see this. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, to be put on that cross. Jesus came as a human to be put on that cross. He's crowned with glory and honor that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Put your name in there. Christ tasted death for Leo Doyle. Christ carried my sins, carried my curse, and he tasted death for me. Those that believe in me, Jesus said about to Mary and to Martha, they shall never die. I'm never going to be separated from God again. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are he created all things. That's Colossians 1. And by him all things consist. Colossians 1. He brought many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. He fulfilled his mission perfectly and completely through the sufferings of the cross. People say all the time, Christ died for you on the cross. Yes, that's very, very important. But he suffered before he died, and it was in the sufferings that he experienced the judgment. He took upon himself the judgment and the curse for our sins. Look at what it says in verse 14. For as much then as the children, we, the children of God, are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And so I am now a child of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3 says that I was dead in my trespasses and sins. Says I was a child of wrath and I was a child of disobedience. And then Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says that if the Holy Spirit is in me, I belong to Christ. And if I have not the Holy Spirit, I am none of his. And then in Romans 8, verse 16, the scripture says, His spirit witnesses with my spirit that I am now a child of God. I am now a child of God. So my friend, when you hear folks say, you know, we're all the children of God, we are not all the children of God biblically. You look at those scriptures. I know I didn't take you there, but it's Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, where we're called the children of wrath and the children of disobedience. And then in Romans 8, 9, and 16, we become a child of God when the Holy Spirit enters into our heart. We are born the sons of Adam. We must be born again to become a son of God, a child of God. And so the Lord took upon himself the curse. And part of the curse was the curse of death. And that was placed upon him on that cross. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And look at what the scripture says. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 21 it says this. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So the first Adam brought death into the world by his sin. The second Adam, Christ, brings eternal life with him into the world by his perfect righteousness. Romans tells us we're saved by his death, and we're saved even much more by his life of perfect righteousness. So what I want you to understand here, my dear friend, is one man brought sin into the world, and one man came to take it out. And on the cross, Jesus takes this upon himself, and he begins the process of reversing the curse of death that is placed on humanity as a result of sin. Verse 45 says this, as it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit, a life-giving, the life-giving spirit of the resurrection was in Jesus Christ. And that goes back to Romans 8. If the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, Paul says, you're going to live forever with Christ. Romans chapter 5, we'll go there and we'll look at what I just said to you. So when that crown of thorns is on his head, this is the deeper meaning. This is what God wants us to know is going on that cross. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says this, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. For all of us have sinned in our fallen human nature. Verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come, Jesus. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. It's the grace. Let me show you the scripture. Verse 10 of Romans 5. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. All right? Now, tie that into what I just read to you. That through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. My works cannot save me. I'm saved by the perfect life Christ lived. And by his works of perfection, and then his death on that cross. And my friend, we've got to be able to explain this to people. We've got folks going to church all the time that are bound up in false doctrine, and then we've got folks that don't go to church, and we can't explain to them why they need to be saved. I mean, this is beautiful. I'm just going to read it all. And not if it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation of all of us, but the free gift by one is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, and his name is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is reversing the curse that came into this world through Adam's sin. And you need to read these verses at home. Grace much more abounds. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, fallen human nature. What did King David say? I was conceived in sin. I was born in sin. We're born sinners. We're born children of wrath. We're born children of disobedience. We are not born children of God. I don't care how much the liberal media tries to tell, we're just all the children of God. And we're all going to make it. And you can have any concept of God you want. Please don't believe this. My friend, Jesus Christ loves you. Only Jesus Christ died for your sins. Jesus Christ is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And certainly, he said to love our enemies. We're to love everyone. But he also said marriage is between a man and a woman. And he also said that a man shouldn't go out and commit adultery. And he also said we're not to take his name in vain. So my dear friend, you know, the truth is still the truth. God is still God. And don't let these people paint all these false pictures before you. You don't have to be a hateful person to try to live by the truth of the Word of God. And don't let them label you that. Somebody in America has got to stand for the truth of Jesus. He died for me. I'm not going to turn my back on His teachings. I am a child of God. So this process begins. Go with me to Revelation 21. Remember, we were just in Genesis chapter 3. And look at the culmination. Revelation 21 verse 1 says this, "And I saw a renewed, kinos, not naos in the Greek, a renewed heaven and a renewed earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them physically, just like back in the Garden of Eden. And they shall be His people, and God Himself will be with them." The Lord wants us with Him and be their God. Verse 4, and here's the curse, all right? Would the curse bring in sorrow, suffering, pain, grief, decay, illness, death? God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, no more pain. For the former things that came into the earth because of the curse will be removed totally. Removed totally at the end of those 7 years of tribulation. That's what we're headed to. If I was recording in front of my group, I'd tell them to give the Lord a hand at this point. And my friend, I tell you what, go with me to Revelation 22, verse 1. "And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there's the tree of life." Now the tree of life again. In the holy city, New Jerusalem, that we're going to experience for eternity. And it's for the healing and health and vitality and strength of all peoples. Verse 3, "And there shall be no more curse." So the curse is removed. "And the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servant shall serve Him, and we will see His face. And His name shall be in our minds and hearts, and we will find Him when we search with Him with all our hearts." So He'll be our preeminent thought. The folks that only think about Christ 10% of the time now, we will be so enamored with Him, so awed, so in love. So in love. "And there shall be no night there, and no need of candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." We reign. Christ reigns, and we reign in victory over anything that's ever defeated us. We're going to reign and reign and reign. "And they placed upon His head a crown of thorns." My dear friend, please, please take time. Please take time. "At the cross I bow my knee, where Your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this. I praise You, Lord Jesus. Thank You. Forgive me, Father. Forgive me. Let this be a season that we keep the feast of the Passover of Christ, our sacrifice, in sincerity and truth and in a greater purity. Father, show me the leaven that I need to purge out of me. Let me take up my cross for You as You took up Your cross for me. Let me grow in commitment and depth within my relationship with You, and let me gain some of the victories here as Your Spirit's now in my heart. And Father, a lot of what consist of my fallen nature. I'm just a prayer season away from gaining victory. As you renew me in several different ways. We thank you and we praise you, Lord Jesus. Bless Israel today. Bless the nation of Israel. Protect her from her enemies. Restore the land that you have given to Israel. Let no man divide it. We praise you, Lord Jesus. In your glorious name we pray. Amen. God bless you, my friend. May the favor of God and man be upon your life today. Seek Him. Seek the Lord.